It's great to see everyone here this morning. I'm glad to get an opportunity to talk with you this morning and to study the Word, and definitely invite you to open your Bibles, because we will be digging into a few passages. And our topic this morning will be focused on the men. And so we're going to be looking at the roles of men as a head of household, as a spiritual leader, as husbands and fathers. And so one of the things we wanted to kind of go through is just what does God expect of men as a spiritual leader, as a head of the household, as a husband and a father. And I wanted to kind of look at one passage just kind of to set the table for us this morning. It's 1 Corinthians 16. Very short couple verses, but I think it's a very powerful verses, verses 13 and 14. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. I think that encapsulates a lot of what it takes to underlie and fulfill these roles as a man. And one of the things, as we go through this study, I want to talk to the men and ask them to examine their motives for what they do, how they act, how they, the things they avoid, the things they embrace. Are your motives for your children and for your wife's best interest and for the family's best interest, or are they selfish? And only you can answer that question. As we look at the husband role, we'll dig into this a little bit later, but Ephesians 5 gets into a lot of detail, and it tells us to love our wife as Christ loved the church. And when we get to that topic here in a little bit, we'll dig into that in a little more detail. But that's a very high standard for us, as we the way we need to love our wife as Christ loved the church. I want to talk a little bit about how important fathers are. I was able to find some statistics from research studies that show that households without a father account for 63% of all youth suicides, 71% of all high school dropouts, 90% of all homeless and runaway children, and 85% of all children with behavioral issues. Those are pretty depressing statistics if you think about that, and so I think it emphasizes how important a father is in the family and that role that he plays, and how it can have a huge impact on the family and on the children. So kind of to emphasize that, you know, we have important roles as men, as a spiritual leader, the head of the household, as husband and fathers. And God has given us responsibilities that only we can fulfill. We can't delegate that to someone else, and so that's something that we as men and those roles that we play have to do. And again, these responsibilities and roles, that if we perform them well, they're very important and they're critical, and then they're especially to fulfilling God's will in the family and in the greater society. So we'll talk a little bit more about these roles as we go forward here. I realize that about 50% of our audience is female this morning. So one of a couple things, just as the females in the audience, we men need your help. So we need encouragement, we need support, and sometimes reminders and correction if we're struggling and not fulfilling our roles as men and spiritual leaders and husbands and fathers. And so I ask of the women in the audience that if you are a wife, mother, or sister, please use your influence over the men in your life to help them be the man that God wants them to be. And again, this lesson will be directed to the men, but we need your help, women. So that's our appeal to you. So our first thing we're going to look at is really the man as a spiritual leader and head of the household. Wanted to dig into one passage here in John 13. So if you'll turn over to your Bibles to John 13. This is an illustration, I think, that Jesus gave his apostles, and I think it has a lot of impact on we as men on the way that we need to be a leader in our household. And so starting verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he had come forth from God, and he was going back to God, rose from supper, and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he goes into this conversation with Simon Peter, and then jumping down to verse 12. And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, so you ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, the slave is not greater than his master, and neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you do these things, you are blessed if you do them." I think that service attitude that Jesus gave there, even though he was Lord and teacher, I think is a great example for how men should lead in their families. We need to basically be a servant leader. And that term, I think, gets thrown around a lot today. At least I hear it frequently on a number of things. But I think this is probably the best illustration of that and what that really means. One of the passages I also wanted to look at was in Genesis 18. And this is a passage where God, just before God goes, sends the angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it, he visits Abraham, and in chapter 18, he talks about that, this, and starting in verse 19, sorry, I have the wrong verse reference there, so chapter 18, verse 19, God says, "For I have chosen him," talking of Abraham, "in order that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." So again, that kind of the key components there, I think, are about to keeping the way of the Lord and by doing righteousness and justice. That, again, I think is a real key component of being the spiritual leader of your household and the head of your household is, we need to command our children and our household, again, as a servant leader, but also that we need to be focused on doing righteousness and justice. One passage I also wanted to look at, and I know it's the qualifications of elders, but in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 4, it talks about some of the qualifications of the elders. But I think there's a particular item in there that I think while it applies to elders, I think it is a general expectation of Christian men. So, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 4, "He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity." And I'll go ahead and, the verse 5 really applies to the elders, "But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God?" So, while that is a specific qualification for an elder in the Lord's church, managing your household well and keeping your children under control with all dignity, I think is a general expectation that God has for men in their households. So I think that's something, that's a standard I think we should all try to live up to. The last one kind of on this section really is to, in the parable of the sower, one thing we need to be really careful on is to not get distracted by the world around us and the different things that happen in our daily life. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19, as Jesus is given the interpretation or the explanation of the parable of the sower, he focuses on the one particular soil, and he says in verse 19, actually, do 18 and 19. "And these are the ones whom the seed was sown among the thorns, and they are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in, and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." I want to focus on that last part there about the desires for other things. That, to me, is a kind of a catch-all category for anything that's going to distract you from serving God. Be really careful about what you prioritize. Be really careful about the things that you put above God, that you, whether it's family, job, those types of things. You have to be really careful that you don't allow the desires for other things to distract you from your service to God. And that will, if you keep focused on God, then you, being the spiritual leader and the head of the household, will, I think, come natural to you. One of the things, and we're not going to read this verse because I think everybody knows it very well, but we can't delegate this role to our wives. We can't delegate it really to anyone. It's ours and ours alone. It's our responsibility, and really no one else can do it. And I referenced Joshua's statement there that for me and my household will serve the Lord. That I think is a really key thing that we need to make sure that we are focused on that, and that is a highest priority. So this comes to kind of the self-examination part, and I really want people to, men in particular, to examine their example and the patterns that you're setting in your family and in your life. And then what message are you sending with those examples and that pattern? You're going to be an example, whether good or bad, whether you want it to or not. All of us are examples. So I think it's really critical that we examine those examples. Are you a great example of a godly man or a husband and a father? Hopefully you are. Are you the spiritual leader of your house? Is your attendance at worship service high and consistent? And is your discipline of your children done in love, and is it consistent? And your children are watching you every day, and they're going to look at you and try to understand your values and your priorities. And are your words and your actions aligned, or are they misaligned? And are you saying one thing and doing another, or are you a hypocrite? I think a lot of times we as men get caught up in the day-to-day and don't appreciate the message that we send through our examples. And these messages are delivered loud and clear, and they speak more forcefully than our words. So we need to be really critical that we are living an example for our families that is going to be one that is points to God, shows the priority that God is in our life. Because if we're prioritizing, pick something, sleep, comfort, my time, my hobby, my whatever, fill in the blank, that's going to be seen by everybody around you, your wife, your kids, your friends. So, and they're going to understand where your priority really is. So we're going to transition to kind of men in the husband role. In Genesis chapter 2, we won't read this, but I had most of it up there, is that God said, it's not good for man to be alone, and I'll make him a helper suitable for him. And for that reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And that oneness there is, you know, there'll be one in spirit, one in emotional ties, one that they're united in their goal and their purpose. And so that husband-wife relationship, really two become one, and they become one in as many ways as you can possibly think of. They should be one. So let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. I mentioned we were going to dig into this one a little bit deeper. So Ephesians chapter 5, and again, I think this helps illustrate what headship means, particularly when you think about Christ and the church, and then also what Christ did for the church. So we're going to start in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as a church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present her to himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. And again, he goes back to Genesis on this. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to the church, to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. You see all the aspects and the comparison that Paul makes to Christ and the church, and then the husband and the wife, and that there's love there, there's sacrifice there, there's service there, that the husband is serving the wife by nourishing and caring for her and doing everything he can to build her up and do the right thing that would be in her best interest. And you see that pattern very clearly, I think, in this passage. So this headship, a man's headship, is not a dictator or a king. Again, he's a servant leader. He's going to be like Christ in the church. He's going to sacrifice himself for his wife. The husband and wife, again, that oneness, they need to work together to serve God and to raise the children. And again, the husband and wife should set spiritual goals as a couple and work together to accomplish them. There's a passage that comes with a blessing and a warning in 1 Peter 3:7. Probably a very familiar passage again. But I think it's good for us to look at it just a little carefully here. So, you know, he goes through this starting in verse 1. He won't read all the way down there, but talks about that. You know, wives should be submissive to their husbands, and then talks about what the husbands need to be doing. So starting in verse 7, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. Grant her, for since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So, again, we need to live with our wives in an understanding way. She's different than us. She's not a man. She doesn't think like a man. She doesn't act like a man, thankfully. So, we need to live with her in an understanding way. And, again, in granting her honor, that's a very high standard, if you think about that, granting your wife honor as a fellow heir. And you think about that the warning at the end of that verse is that your prayers will be hindered if you don't treat your wife correctly. So again, your relationship with God can be and will be negatively impacted by the way you treat your wife if you do it in the wrong way. So again, blessing and a warning there. So you need to be encouraged to do the right thing, and then understand that if you're not treating your wife with honor and you're not living with her in an understanding way, you know, there can be some negative consequences there. So lastly on this one is that in the husband-wife relationship, the rewards are great if we do what God instructs, but the downside is significant if we don't obey God in our marriage. So again, we need to really be thoughtful about how important that husband-wife relationship is, and our role as men to make sure we do everything in our power to make that relationship a positive and spiritually beneficial one. So as we transition to the father's role, I wanted to look at Deuteronomy 6 and read a couple of verses there. There's some verses there I think that are really important to focus on as a father. What is my responsibility to teach my children? And again, just to focus that it's my responsibility. It's, you know, a man's responsibility to teach their children about God and to live it daily and to show that how important God is in our life. In Deuteronomy 6, we'll read 6 through 9. says, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." That all of that, you know, about on your hand and on the frontals and then on your gates, those means that's how obvious and how important that talking about God, living for God, you know, teaching your sons that they know, you know, that God is important in your life, and it, the way you live, it matches the way that you talk. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll spend a little bit of time in Hebrews chapter 12. And this Hebrews chapter 12 passage talks a little bit about discipline, but it also highlights the benefits of discipline. So I'll read 5 through 11 just to help us get focused here. So, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there who his father does not discipline? If you are without discipline, of which we all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. We shall we not rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet for those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields up the peaceful fruit of righteousness." So one of the key kind of takeaways from this verse is that if you love your children, you're going to discipline them. You see that particularly in verse 7 and 8, that if you love your children, you will discipline them. And one of the things I wanted to focus on is sometimes I think discipline gets a bad rap. People look at it as a negative thing. But if you think about it, the root of discipline is disciple. So this is discipling your children. Think about that. This is, and that word disciple really means to instruct, to train, to teach, to mentor, and then also to discipline and correct. All of that is encompassed in that word. So again, we need to disciple our children, and we also need to discipline our children. And again, the one point it makes there, that if you don't discipline your children, then there's no love there. And sometimes I think people confuse that, and they think that, you know, discipline is violence, and I'm not talking about, you know, child abuse here. I'm talking about this is everything is done in love. And so we need to make sure that we are disciplining our children in love. But again, the key thing is that children see discipline as an expression of love because we're doing it for their best interest. So again, we need to discipline our children. And again, that verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. Nobody likes to discipline their children. But it does yield up the peaceful fruit of righteousness. If we do it correctly, it will train our children to be righteous. A couple verses just to think about is that there's a number of passages in Proverbs, and I'll just read these very quickly, but that if you don't discipline your children, you will raise a fool. And I know that's a very simplistic way to say it, but in 22:15, it says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of discipline will remove it far from him." Children need training, they need instruction, they need correction, and they need discipline. So that is very important for us to do that. That's our role as a father, to discipline and to train and to teach and to coach and to mentor. And then if I turn over to 29, I'll read 15 and 17. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And then jumping down to verse 17. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. So again, we need to make sure that we are doing the right thing by our children and disciplining them. And again, that discipline means really you're trying to disciple them. You're trying to teach, instruct, coach, mentor, but also you need to correct them and you need to discipline them. There's a couple warnings in a couple passages, and I think it's important. I'll just hit these quickly. It talks about fathers, don't exasperating your children so that they will lose heart. And that is Colossians 3:21. I think that's a real focus, is that fathers, that we need to make sure that we, the thing that will exasperate them is if we're inconsistent, if we don't lead the family, if we show a lack of leadership and direction, that will frustrate them and that will exasperate them because they don't know what to expect because you're inconsistent, you're not being a leader. And so, again, we are encouraged to be consistent, to be a spiritual leader, to be the father that God instructs us to be. Another warning and instruction is in Ephesians 6:4 that fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So again, the way that you would provoke them to anger, again, is if you were inconsistent, if you abandon your role as a father. Your children need you as a father, not as a friend. That friendship will come later. So, but they need you as a father. And if you fulfill your role, that your children will love and respect you. But if you don't, they will not love and respect you. So it's very important that we as men, that we are good fathers, that we do it in love, we do it as God instructs us. And so very important for us to do that. So our conclusion, and I'm also going to call this a call to action for the men, is that what does God expect of us as men and spiritual leaders and husbands and fathers? That passage I read earlier about being on the alert and standing firm in the faith and acting like men, I think is an important one again because it talks about let everything be done in love. That passage that we read earlier with Abraham commanding his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, I think is a real critical guideline there as well. Men have important roles as spiritual leaders and the head of the household and husbands and fathers. Those really depressing statistics I showed at the very beginning, I think we have to be careful because if we're an absentee father or if we're a father that's not involved or if we're a father that just comes in and plops down in front of the TV and plays video games and doesn't do anything else, I don't think we're going to have the impact that God wants us to do and have on the family. So we have to be a godly father and a godly man. And again, men have, God has given men responsibilities that only we can fulfill. And as I mentioned earlier, the expectations are high, but there's blessings to not only the man, but to the wife, the children, and in society in general is benefits by that. The downside is severe if we don't fulfill our roles well. You might have showed you those statistics a little bit earlier. The damage that can be done to children and the family is devastating, I think, at times if you see it. And I pray that all the men will dedicate themselves to being the best man, the best spiritual leader, and the best head of household, the best husband, and the best father that we can. I know this lesson wasn't a lesson regarding the gospel today, but we still will extend an invitation. If you want to become a Christian today and you've heard the gospel, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that you confess that him as Lord, and that you can be baptized this morning if you would like to obey him in the plan of salvation, or if you have a need that the congregation can help you with once you come forward as we stand and sing.